TPR.
Yeah, so it was, I'll be honest, it was pretty random for me, especially like from my perspective, because we all knew that, you know, Spotify is a really big international music platform. And it's really in Pakistan, it's a big deal for some like company like that to be kind of launching. And when they reached out to me, it was, of course, through like LinkedIn. And you know how LinkedIn, you get like, if you're like an avid user of that
platform, I'm big on
like
LinkedIn,
so spammy all the time. Like people reach out, especially in Pakistan, I feel like LinkedIn, like people don't like, the majority at least doesn't have that know-how of how exactly you're supposed to use it. So like, I've also gotten a lot of friendship requests on LinkedIn. So I actually got a message on LinkedIn from someone from the HR team reaching out that, you know, we have an opening. We would really want you to, you know, consider applying for this and all that. And I was like, whatever. Okay, spam. But I don't know why. I was just like, you know what? It's okay. Like, let's take a look. Because there was the whole JD attached to the message, and it seemed a little bit legit. Like there was like it was not that spammy,
right?
So I was like, okay, sure. And then I got in touch with that person, and it was, I think it took me a week or two for them to just hire me. We did like a series of interviews, extensive tests and stuff, and
So when they reached out, it didn't say that we're from Spotify when they reached out to you.
Oh, no, of course it did.
Oh, yeah. Right. It did. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought they were being super anonymous.
No, not really.
Okay.
Of course, like, it's just like when someone's reaching out to you on LinkedIn and you are also like a professional, then it's just like a given that you need to be very discreet about things.
Right. Know, so. Right. So what was the job?
So I joined Spotify as an editor, which essentially means like sort of like a curator slash programmer for certain regions. For me, it was Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Sri Lanka.
Right.
And then since then, I mean, I've moved on to a senior role, being a senior editor, which is like a bit vast in terms of responsibilities. It's more of like a cultural expert and music expert for these three regions slash programming, curating, making sure, you know, other than just the playlist aspect of everything, then there's also everything else that you see on platform, from your home feed to your search to everything else. Making sure that the programming on platform is something that will appeal to the Pakistani audiences and something for them at least.
Right. So professionally, I think a big part of your job is listening to music. That's a good job to have.
Yeah,
right?
Massive.
yeah. Acha. Pakistani music you might be familiar with, but when you, I don't know how familiar were you with music from Bangladesh and Sri Lanka when you started?
Pretty much like, so I've always been into exploring, just like trying to discover music, even like sonically, you know, even if you don't understand language. I've been not just Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, but like even outside South Asia, I've been really into Arabic indie music since like about 10 years ago.
Right.
That's when
I
started getting. Right. So I think it's just I was familiar with, of course, like the mainstream already, and more indie scene of these countries more than the like mainstream one. But it was really surprising when I really got into it, like made it my kind of job to curate a program for these markets, it was like, okay, this is so familiar, because, you know, at the end of the day, it is South Asian music.
Right.
So there are a lot of overlapping aspects to music other than the language. Even when it comes to language, it's kind of surprising how much overlapping in terms of like the metaphors we use and the kind of themes and all of that stuff. Mm. So yeah.
Mm. So it wasn't too much of a like a learning curve. No, to like get on board.
Not like a very unfamiliar territory.
Right. So initially, when you start, but then how do you go about curating the playlist aspect? Because in that, it's not just the music that you like. You're sort of thinking of what people like or what people would like, because many of these songs are new. And at the time you joined, I think Spotify was also very new in the region. So there's a few things there, right? You're new to the job. Artists are new to Spotify. How was that initial time? Because a big thing that we're talking about is that recently it's been 2 years since Spotify has been in the region. So how have things changed in terms of just how deeply connected Spotify is in the market? Because I know Pakistan. So Pakistan, now Spotify is like everyone has it almost. And it is the medium that you just have to be on. If you want to be a professional, some sort of professional working artist, you have to be on Spotify. So how has the experience changed for you from the inside with regards to, you know, getting more music, getting more into the playlist making? How's all that changed?
So, I mean, there are, I think, a few parts to that question. So first of all, I think it wasn't really new to me when it came to my programming and stuff, because like I've done that in the past for other services and stuff. But in terms of course, internally, every company has their own processes and all of that. So that was, of course, like that's like, even if you're not in working in a music streaming service, any company has their own kind of policies and procedures and all of that. So of course, that's like a learning that you have to, you know, do anyway. But other than that, I honestly, like, I was really, really comfortable doing what I was supposed to do, because like I was really familiar with the entire landscape of music in Pakistan and Bangladesh and Sri Lanka. But specifically, if I talk about Pakistan, how it's changed in like since like Spotify launched, it's changed like massively in so many ways, because if like, for example, I think the artists are, of course, familiar with most artists, I would say, who are on Spotify, are familiar with how to pitch your songs for playlisting, let's say, for example. So if I talk about how it's changed from that aspect, in the beginning, a lot of artists were not very like knowledgeable on how to pitch your tracks to playlists and how it works and how can they have more visibility on platform and all of that. But I think since we've launched, there's been a lot of education around it, and people have been actually like artists have been curious about it. So now you see a lot of artists doing that the right way, you know, pitching their tracks for playlists. Mm. And then I think we also noticed that we have, since the launch, we actually have a lot of music coming out of Pakistan. And some of it, the general audience might not even know about. So if you look at playlists like Fresh Finds or Pakistani Indie Rising or Nai Bars, which is sort of like New Music Friday for hip hop, you will find artists in there that you would never even heard of.
Like. Yeah.
And it's crazy the amount of music that I listen to every week. That people have never heard of before, music I've never heard of before. So that's very nice to see, because, you know, it's like sort of like feeding into the ecosystem, and then it's not like a small set of artists who are just releasing and then this very redundant, but it's a lot of other artists. It's just a matter of also giving them an opportunity to amplify their music along with our mainstream or the usual suspects we see.
What we do see with Spotify is, initially, I'm sure when you started, there weren't that many artists online, perhaps. because there perhaps wasn't as big a service available for people who are already musicians. So when I'm imagining when, you know, Spotify first launches in the region, you get all those established artists already, right? They all get onboarded. But then there's all the new people, people who we would quote unquote call indie, who now have this new platform. And what I sort of felt was it was like a reciprocal relationship, as in the more people found Spotify for their work, it seemed like more people were inspired to get into music also, because of like, oh, now there's a service, and it's sort of like the volume was increasing sort of exponentially in terms of, you know, like you mentioned, there's so many artists coming about, there's so many playlists that you're directly mm-hmm. involved in. And I think that's really, because we've talked on a podcast before about the challenges of being a musician in Pakistan. I'm sure you are very personally aware of this in, you know, your life. But one of the big things is you need a platform, right? Like, maine gaane bana liye, ab wo kidhar jayenge, right? You know, do you just email them to everybody, or do you use like perhaps alternative service? Because Spotify ki reach is sort of unparalleled global, in the region, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. And it's global, huh? So yeah, with this work, so playlist, big deal, a big part of your work is curating playlists. Do you want to talk about a few of the major playlists, the thought process that goes into them, with as much detail as you can?
So, I mean, I would say that's like the biggest part of my job, but it is one significant part, but
yeah.
The playlist, honestly, like every playlist that we have for Pakistan has its own kind of hypothesis, its own specific audience.
Right.
So I honestly can't cover all of them. But if I were to talk about like our flagship playlist, when I say flagship, I mean the most popular playlists in Pakistan that we have locally. I don't know if you've recently heard about Pakka Hit Hai.
Yeah.
It's essentially our hits playlist, but just for local hits. So it's the local hits flagship, and it's like a brand that we've created for just the Pakistani audiences. And it's just curious all the hit tracks, current hit tracks in Pakistan. And I'm among others, there's Hottest Pakistan, which is also super popular, which kind of curates the hits. They're not just local, but all the hits that the Pakistani audiences are listening to right now, I would want to listen to. And then there's Desi Hits, which is also super popular within South Asia. It's kind of like a South Asian flagship, hits flagship, I would say. So it curates the best and the most like hit tracks in South Asia right now. So the thought process, of course, if I were to talk about these three specific playlists, the thought process is very similar, that it's like a combination of things, right? So the first thing that we think about is that what are the songs that currently people in the country are listening to?
Sure.
And then, of course, the second aspect of it is that we look at what are the tracks that will potentially become hits. And we, of course, like with these kind of playlists, we don't take major risks because they're supposed to be short hits.
So yeah.
Hence why I hit. But now and then we on the basis of our knowledge and, you know, our experiences, basis of the expertise that we have, we kind of try and see that, is there a song that's on the rise right now that we can try out and maybe potentially it will become a hit? So just like this, there are other playlists that we have, like let's say Pakistani indie, Pakistani rock, Pakistani pop, and all of that. Those playlists as well, that's where we try to see how a track's journey kind of happens from one playlist to another, so it ends up eventually in the hits playlists, right, which are our flagships.
Right.
So the first playlist, for example, if you're an artist and you're really releasing a song, potentially the first playlist that it will probably go on is New Music Friday as soon as it's released. And then, of course, based on performances and how it's doing, it moves from one playlist to another. We've created an ecosystem where a track has a very specific journey based on its performance. Sometimes it makes its way to the hits playlist, sometimes it doesn't. So it really depends how it's performing organically as well. And also like according to the support that we're giving them and how it kind of, you know, like works with that support essentially.
Right. Because obviously I'd imagine, and this might be too corporate a question, but it is in Spotify's actual interest for more people to be listening. So you want the best songs, you want the most listenership from a general actual music ecosystem where you want more people to do better on the app, right? Because that creates that loop of artists getting onto Spotify, people finding their artists on Spotify. But speaking of journeys, so I'm following you guys should follow them on Instagram. A big thing we're seeing on Instagram is the Equal campaign. Where is that the same one with the Times Square pictures?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. Absolutely. So I've been seeing it for a few months now. What is that? What is that campaign? I think I have some sort of idea, but what is that campaign? How did that come about? What does it mean to you, to people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Equal is a global music program, which means that there is a version of Equal in most countries that Spotify is live in. Mm. So we have, of course, Equal Pakistan that you just mentioned. You see on Instagram, that's like the Pakistan version of Equal.
Yeah.
So Equal is essentially a program where we're trying to amplify the woman in music because, you know, we still have a very long way to go, even worldwide, when it comes to the equity of women artists in the industry. So it's basically kind of an initiative to help achieve that. We launched in March, I think, last year.
Mm.
And the first artist that we kind of put on the cover of Equal Playlist and who was our ambassador of that month was Aruj Aftab.
Right, right.
And so essentially what happens is that every month we pick an artist that we want to amplify, who is on the cover of our playlist, who's put on Times Square as well, and who's you see content around them on socials as well. That's kind of thought provoking, and trying to like through them try and amplify other women artists as well. And then of course Equal Playlist as well on its own has other other artists and music from other female artists in there as well.
Mm.
So it's like a monthly program. I think this March we had 1 year anniversary for Equal, and honestly it's been super. Super interesting the numbers that we've seen on platform when it comes to the discovery of the female Pakistani women artists, because it's a part of the Equal program is also that we're not only curating these artists in the local playlists but also globally.
So, yeah.
There are massive global playlists on Spotify where we try and push these artists who are ambassadors of the month of the tracks from them. So last year, we had 68% increase in the discovery of these artists, which is massive because they're being discovered by local audiences plus the global audiences as well. So I think the last ambassador for us was Sana Marvi.
Mm.
It's been really exciting and it's gonna go on till the end of time, hopefully.
Right, hopefully.
That's really, really important.
And so is this, so when you work with these people, is there like, do they know that they're gonna be on the playlist? How does that relationship with the artists work? How do they feel about this?
I don't understand the question. Like, how do you mean if they
like
know
if
about
an
it?
Artist is on the, you know, cover of a playlist for a month, right? And every month there's mm-hmm. a new artist. So mm-hmm. is it like an a back and forth sort of relationship working with that artist for that month, or is it just, you know, internally Spotify is like, all right, this person this month. And
everything we do with an artist, we have an artist and label partnership team that is basically very, very proactively in touch with these artists. So it's not just like something that we decide and we just do.
Right.
But it's based on a lot of relationship building with every artist that we're working with.
Mm. And speaking of women in music in Pakistan, you were a woman in music in Pakistan, still are a woman in music in Pakistan, outside your Spotify job. And, you know, it's quite obvious, even for someone who's not very into the industry, to just take a glance and see there's not that many women in the industry. Have you seen that change personally, like on a personal experience through your professional lens? Have you seen that change over the past couple of years, perhaps through initiatives like Equal? Because again, I'm just thinking on that feedback loop thing where people don't know something's possible until they see it. And, you know, Equal mm-hmm. is perhaps showing people that, oh, this is possible. And people, there might be women on Spotify who haven't really thought about it. But then when you showcase them in that specific way, they get inspired. So have you seen perhaps a slow but still noticeable increase in female artists over time?
Yeah, so I would really say, I would say slow for sure. I think it's still, the ratio is still quite off, but it's getting better for sure. Like right. there are a lot, again, if you maybe go and look at like Fresh Finds, Pakistan, there are very quite a few upcoming female artists who are releasing music.
Yeah.
But I would like to see it a bit more.
Sure.
For sure, because I think it's still, because of course, like it's not going to happen overnight. And like Equal's been there for a year and a few months. I think it's going to still take a bit for us to really make that ecosystem kind of sustainable on its own, that, you know, the women artists are releasing music almost every other week or every week like any other artist. So it has affected the sort of like the input of new music from the female artists, but it can be much better, hopefully.
Right. There's work to be done.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. But then speaking of artists growing, we talked about, you know, very briefly about how new artists are generally considered to be indie, where indie has perhaps a separate definition. So now in Spotify, at least if you are a Spotify user, if you're on the internet in Pakistan, basically Spotify is your platform where you consider music and trends. There are a lot of people who are very new artists, indie in the truest sense, not affiliated perhaps with any established label or anything. They get onto Spotify, their music is great, Spotify does its job in promoting them, making them get to the right people, and then they become, you know, like as good as mainstream artists, right? They're doing massive concerts, they have great listenership numbers. How, as someone, again, you know, who's so intimately familiar with the industry and now is also working on the platform side of things, how have you seen an artist's journey change since Spotify has come into the picture? Like, you know, how indie artists basically become pop artists. How have you seen, you know, that change over the past couple of years since you've been here?
So if I were to talk about, so I guess, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but what you're basically trying to ask is like, what we considered indie a few years ago, where is that now, and what's yeah. that journey like for that kind of lot?
Yeah, you know, jo hota tha underground band jo ek zamane mein hota tha. Yeah.
I think first of all, let's kind of define indie.
Sure. Yeah.
Because I feel like indie is not the same indie.
Exactly.
That what it is in the like worldwide generally. So independent artist is essentially someone who's not signed with the label, right? But if you look at Pakistan, I mean, there's barely anyone who signed with the label. Of course, that's changing now. But if you saw like when Spotify actually launched at that time, there were not a lot of labels. Not a lot of artists were actually signed with these labels. So by definition, we would call them independent. But
yeah.
There's so many mainstream artists who are also independent, but really we don't think of them when we say indie, right? Mm. So there's a very specific kind of aesthetic and music genre that we associate indie with. It's almost like, you know, niche and not very music for masses. Very personal, I would say also. So that is what I call indie scene. And of course, like, I've seen it very up close before Spotify launched. So since then, I would say it's evolved in a very beautiful way, because now that indie scene, and I think I can safely say that people like Talal Qureshi, or like Abdullah Siddiqui, Manu, Natasha Nurani, Amna Riaz, like these kind of artists were considered indie, and I wouldn't put them in that box now, because now you see that these artists are on top charts. Abdul Hanan, for example. When it comes to, when you look at his aesthetic and when you look at his sound and everything, that could easily been indie. But now it's not. It's your top charting tracks. It's pop. It's what people are now listening to. It's what the masses are now listening to. So that tells you kind of two things. I think one, that because since Spotify launched, a lot of I would say the listening patterns of the audiences have also massively changed, right? Because they've been they're now like kind of what's the word, exposed. They're now exposed to so much music Spotify. Before this, they just had to like go on the internet and look for music. Where's the new music, you know? And you only see the mainstream stuff and not everything else. So since that, music listening kind of habits of the audiences have also changed, that they're now exposed to so much new music. They're discovering new sounds and they're finding new favorites out there, exploring new genres, essentially. So I think that is something that's really helped these artists that we would consider indie in the past to find their audiences that are not really niche. We honestly think that if a genre is not really like super pop or super rock or whatever, it's very niche. But
right.
So much audience out there for that particular genre that it's crazy. Like the most, the most rarest of genres, like funk. I don't know if you know about funk.
Yeah,
no,
funk. Yeah, yeah. Thanks to TikTok, I know about funk. Yeah, yeah.
It's not my thing.
sure.
But I've seen it blown up so much. And our teams in Spotify have like really kind of cultivated that genre as well. And I can't, like, no one could imagine how much audience there is for that genre, right? So I wouldn't say that a genre that Abdul Hanan falls in or Natasha Nurani falls in or Talal falls in, these genres are still not as experimental as funk, for example. Mm-hmm. So how is it not possible for them to find an audience that's not niche? So because of Spotify then kind of exposing the audiences to all these artists and their music, I feel like they've been able to find their kind of audiences on Spotify. And now you see artists like Kefi or Abdul Hanan and all these artists, they're in top charts. That means that they were not really niche. They were not really like indie in the the Pakistani definition, but they just needed to find their audiences.
Yeah. And Kefi especially is everywhere. Like, I was in Pakistan earlier this year and every restaurant, cafe, house, car you go to, Kefi, Kahani Suno 2.0, very important, is everywhere.
It's the top one, number one track in India right now. So imagine that.
Yeah. Okay. So
it's crazy. So, I mean, I think I would really now not call these artists like indie anymore. They are the pop scene. They basically changed the pop scene, right? So and that's very, very refreshing to see, I think. And that shows the growth of these artists, specifically on Spotify. And yeah, and I think this is going to happen a lot. I think because of that exposure for the audiences to new music, we might see trends happening more frequently and changing more frequently than they would before. Like, you know, before you would just see a particular set of artists or very specific set of genres. Sure. That were always there. And, right. you know, there was no evolving from that. Like you just like stick to that then for like at least a decade, that genre, and don't move on from it. I mean, and of course, how would you, if you're not even exposed to, you know,
new right, exactly.
sound. So now I feel like it's going to happen even more. Trends are going to change more rapidly and artists is going to evolve with them and find their audiences and their sounds and everything. So yeah, I think it's a very, very kind of hopeful future for music.
Before all of this happened, I was wondering from that thing that you mentioned, where, you know, there's a specific definition of indie that perhaps somebody familiar with music might consider to be the definition. Did you, as you saw these trends changing, did you also have to change like how you were viewing artists and how you would have categorized their sound to be like, no, this is working for like a pop level? So, or were you just on board with that? Was there any internal evolution that was also happening? This is not related to Spotify. This is just a Rutava question.
Oh, I thought it was a Spotify question. Because internal evolution, I don't know. I think I would still stick to that definition of indie that Pakistan had, because our market is different from other markets. Like you can't, even if I talk about like as a Spotify employee, we treat the genres and everything based on what the market is, because every market is different. We can't operate by, at least in the beginning, we can't operate by the definitions of what they are for genres worldwide. So to be honest, I think it's also kind of the same everywhere else. So folk in every country is different.
Right.
There's a different kind of definition of folk in every country. Like if you listen to folk in US,
mm-hmm. sure.
it's not what folk is going to be in Pakistan or India or even like, let's say, UK.
Sure.
So that's why, like, whenever you work, you're kind of considering a genre in your market, you have to stick to the definition that market has for it, because it needs to have relevance to the artists in that market and to the audiences in that market, basically, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it does. In your work, where it's, that's what I'm thinking, it's not just looking at, you know, from a very cold sort of number sort of perspective as to ye famous hai playlist mein dal do iske listen zyada aa rahe hain, because you have like tons of data in the back end of who's listening to what, where, what's that demographic, sure, but clearly there is a lot of qualitative input that is required from your end, from the team's end, from like understanding what people like, because that thing is very fascinating to me about how you have to sort of predict what will be famous. So in that aspect, you don't have those numbers yet, but just based on the song, based on the artist, based on the genre, and based on your view of the market, you have to sort of make like a prediction as to, yeah, these songs just need that right placement and then they'll take off. So that's a lot of responsibility also, that I'm sure everyone is very cognizant of, but it's also very interesting about, you know, it's a very different sort of job experience, I would imagine, for you as well, right? Where you're sort of like analyzing music on a, you know, qualitative scale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, that does make sense to some extent, because see, we don't look at music in a way that, oh, we're not judging it like, oh, is this going to be famous?
Sure.
It's more from the consumer point of view. It's like putting yourself in the shoes of the listener of, let's say, a particular playlist.
Mm.
So for Pakistani rock, your audience is going to be completely different. Pakistani indie is going to be completely different. For, let's say, for a mood, our mood and moments playlist, like there's a, if there's like a down tempo cruising playlist for just like a long drive, it's going to be for an audience, right? So for every, see, I think every song has a place somewhere. And it's just a matter of creating that space on platform. So, of course, like, unless it's like a voice note.
Right.
And there are certain the qualitative standards that, you know, a song has to uphold to.
Of course.
You know, it just can't be like a
rough mix or something. It needs to be like a proper track. Yeah.
It needs to be like a proper produced track. But other than that, like in terms of genre and sound and instrumentation and the feel and vibe and everything else that's like very, I would say, not very tangible things to kind of measure. I think every song has a space, and we try to create that space based on what the consumer wants to listen to. So, for example, if I'm talking about that playlist, Down Tempo Cruising, it's a playlist for you to listen to when you're on a drive, and it's just like very moody kind of playlist. Low BPM tracks, specifically for nighttime, right? So that's very specific.
Super niche.
When we think about these moments, and we put ourselves in the shoes of a listener who is listening to the playlist, then that's what we look at when we're putting tracks in there. Okay, is this something, if this particular track, for example, was in the playlist, as a listener, would I listen to it, or would I just like skip it and be like, what is this? It doesn't belong here.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the criteria, because at the end of the day, we also try to create experiences for the audiences, right? And if that experience is good, that is also good for the artist, because he's going to be heard, and he's going to be heard in the right places.
Right.
If we play everyone everywhere, it's not going to work.
It's just going to be noise. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. One of the most consumed genres in Pakistan right now are like Desi pop.
Right.
Like when you say Desi pop, of course, that means like Indian content, Pakistani pop content and all of that. But I think that's very largely attributed to the Punjabi content that Pakistanis are consuming a lot. Like AP Hidden is so big. Shobhi,
right.
These artists that like are so big in Pakistan right now. And I think that's a very nice kind of intersection between the Pakistani and Indian content, and how, like, you know, we usually see that, you know, Bollywood is so big generally in Pakistan, and in South Asia overall as well. But like when you think about Desi pop, it's not that doesn't really include Bollywood. That's like non-Bollywood music. So non-Bollywood music is sort of like their indie. It would be when Chai Met Toast kind of indie band doing like music in Hindi. Or it could be some like AB Dhillon or Shob who are doing Punjabi music. So I think that's very interesting, because when we talk about South Asian diaspora, they really don't care what they're listening to, whether it's like it's Hindi, Urdu, Punjabi, Indian, Pakistani, Bangladeshi, as long as South Asian, they dig it.
Yeah,
because of course they want it's also their way of connecting to the culture back home, music back home and everything, right? So we for example, like I told you, Desi Hits is one of our playlists that is super big in Pakistan, and the reason why is that because it's a combination of all Desi Hits hit tracks right now. It was actually meant to be just for the diaspora, but it's also super big in Pakistan and like in South Asia in general. That's very interesting, because, you know, we have like not a lot of spaces where it's like the music from both countries shows up together. And then we see that, you know, people actually do really like, at least on platform, they really like listening to that music together, and they don't really care about, you know, where it's from and all of that. So it's just like completely sonic. And among some other genres, like Desi hip hop is also super big. Like Sidhu Moosewala has been so And then Young Stunners. So like it's a combination of all these artists, and then you put them together. We have a playlist called Desi Hip Hop. The keywords them together, which is also like super popular. So when you see these trends on platform, you see that so many of like the Pakistani artists are being streamed in India, and then so much of Indian art is being streamed in Pakistan and vice versa. And then
also
there's so much spillover from Bangladesh and Sri Lanka into Pakistan and India as well. So it's really like, you know, there's just like, it's such a cliche to say, like, but there's literally no boundaries. It's because it's like a global platform. People just come across everything and they listen to everything, and then literally nobody cares.
And I think it's really interesting because, like you said, you know, South Asia could have like five or six countries within it, but like you mentioned at the start, where people have common in the music, there's common themes, metaphors, and then obviously there's, you know, language connections and cultural connections across the border. It makes so much sense that now that all the music, the sort of key cultural output is in one place, which is Spotify, it makes perfect sense. And because you also don't live in Pakistan anymore, and you interact perhaps with people, more South Asian people outside of Pakistan than you did when you were there. So you probably see this in person, like this interest in Pakistani music from non-Pakistanis, you know, like I see, because I also don't live in Pakistan, but there is, it's huge, and it's always been there. I remember back in the day, you know, from like when Jal and Strings and Rosen and all these people were popular, they did massive gigs in India. So sure, there was an interest, clear interest over there, but then, you know, things got, you know, relationships go up and down with the countries there. At that time, there was no Spotify, I think, anywhere, not even just in the region. But now that Spotify is there, there's like this platform that people can easily access and get that cultural connection that they're looking for. Yeah, I think you mentioned Sidhu Moosewala, Young Stunners. One of the things, one of the songs, Ali Marquez, Cold Hours, we've talked about him before, just exploded primarily, I think, because of huge interest in India. And even in the people I know, the hip hop has this weird, there's like a Karachi and Mumbai relationship that I'm finding more and more because of perhaps movies like Gully Boy being very popular in Karachi. And, you know, Karachi people speak sort of the same way that people in Mumbai do, even though Hindi and Urdu are not exactly the same. So I think that relationship probably shows up on Spotify as well, where, you know, people from India are listening to Pakistani hip hop and people from Pakistan are listening to Indian hip hop. And also there's collabs, right? Didn't Young Stunners collaborate with like, I don't know if Krishna is Indian. He might be Indian. So I think there's that sort of stuff is also happening.
No, definitely. I think, and I feel like it's happening a lot. It's not happening maybe too much in the mainstream.
Sure.
But it's still happening with like, yeah, Hasan Rahim collab with, I think, what was the name of that artist? His track was called Dhundla. I think it was either Tamander or Yash Raj.
Okay.
But that was a great track. And then I think there are a lot of other artists that are working with Indian artists right now that I've just like heard about. I had a track with this Indian artist, Abhilasha Sinha, I think a few months ago. So I think on some level, like, yeah, we are very receptive to it. And the audiences also like really love when that happens. And on from a listener's perspective, on Spotify, this is just like, this is super normal.
Nobody
really thinks about what they're listening to, even if it's not like Indian Pakistan thing. It's just like now, like K-pop is so big.
I saw on your recently when you, I think you released your, was it the 1 year stats or 2 year stats? Every city has BTS. Every city in Pakistan has BTS in the top five, I think. So that's, I mean, that makes sense. It makes sense.
Yeah. So it's really, at this point, it's just really not a market, country, region thing. It's just like everyone's listening to everything as long as it's just like sonically sounds good.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
Don't understand the lyrics, don't understand the language. If like, I think the reason why Pasuri made it to Tokyo.
Yeah, and Coachella.
It's simply that sonically it's just resonated. Like musically it's resonated with people. And even if you don't understand what the lyrics are saying, you just connect with the music because it's like harmonically, it's just, it has a connection with your head.
Mm.
So I think, and of course, that's one of the reasons with K-pop as well, even though now there's like, you know, BTS Army that kind of really pushes K-pop and all of that. But other than that, the way it started was that it all had some sort of connection to the people in terms of, I think K-pop is always also a lot of the visual angle and
sure.
How
these
artists are. It's a group and they're choreographers and they have this like the it factor about them, and then you know you combine music with it, and so I think it was also about, you know, the culture is very appealing and all of that. But I think if for Aleem RK as well, it did really well in, I think, yeah, it did really well in India as well. But I do think that, for example, Aruj's music, is also something that even if you don't understand it, just resonates with you in terms of like, it's just very calming, you know. So as long as you get that intended feeling from a song, that's all it needs to like resonate with people and then just go big. And the chances of that happening on Spotify are massive because,
of course,
you know, it's a Google audience there, you know, people from all the world on that platform.
Yeah, not to sort of suggest ideas, but you know, if you guys are doing live experiences and Indian people like Pakistani music and Pakistani people like Indian music, I don't know, man, aage jaake, maybe in Dubai you do something live where you get artists from both places and, you know, audiences have their minds explode. The one thing, I think we're almost at time, but the one thing that I was wondering that I should talk to you about, there was, I think maybe it was on the 2-year anniversary, there was an in-person event in Pakistan, I think perhaps in Lahore, that you were in Pakistan for as well, with artists and such.
Was it in Karachi? Maybe.
I don't know.
We had a masterclass in Lahore in March, and also the Pakka Hit Hai live event in March. Pakka Hit Hai is one of our flagship hits brands, so it's like curating all the local hits, and it's like a very Pakistani playlist. So we don't curate any other hit tracks, whether they're international or whatever.
Right.
It's been like about, I think, 9 to 10 months since it's been launched, and it's one of our most popular like hits playlists on the platform. So we wanted to make sure that we kind of bring it on ground and interact with fans, and also like the artists from those playlists are performing live and kind of giving the fans of the playlist or the fans of the artists a little bit more intimate kind of experience. And it's something that we're going to try and do quarterly. Also it's like, an effort to try and do more gigs in Pakistan.
Right.
Create like also kind of that ecosystem that, you know, the gigs are regularly happening in Pakistan. So it's kind of like you could say it's just like a start to that. So, we did it in collaboration with Colabs. It's like a co-working space in a community in Lahore. They have an amazing space, and we did the first one there with Tahaji and Abdul Hanan, two of you know, the best performers in terms of music on the playlist itself. That was also like trying to make sure that the artists on that playlist also are getting some extra push and extra promotion as well. Hopefully, I think the next one's going to be very soon in Lahore, the same venue as well. So yeah.
Very good. I didn't realize that Spotify is looking to regularly do in-person events as well.
Hopefully, we're definitely going to be on ground much more. I think since like after COVID, since last year, I think end of last year, we've been on ground quite a bit. So, and it's going to be the case in the future as well.
In the future as well. Oh, that's very cool. That's very cool. All right. Well, thank you very much, Ritava, for joining. This has been great. I think hopefully we'll have some more conversations because I'm very interested. This channel is very interested in the music, and I think you're a great source of information from the big platform that we all look forward to. Anything you want to say before we wrap? Any closing message for the youth?
Thank you so much for having me. It was a very interesting chat with you. And there's a lot of local music that we've programmed and curated for the audiences. So yeah, if it's in general, like to your audiences as well, like if they want to check out some new discoveries they've never heard of, please check out Fresh Finds. You know, if you want to amplify and help some female women musicians, check out Equal. Reader for all our emerging artists. And yeah, if you're just like in a mood to chill, check out Desi Lo-Fi. There's literally everything, something for everyone on the platform, and it's for free.
Love it. What you should do is send me, we'll connect over these playlists and I'll put them in the description so that you, the listener or viewer, can just scroll down and you'll find all of them there. How's that sound? Yeah?
Perfect.
Okay. All right. Thank you everyone for listening, watching, Ritava for coming. And we'll see you when we see you next. Bye.